Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then he said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." That is Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40. I'm Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining us today for episode 214 of the Orphans No More podcast. We will be talking Matthew 25 ministry today. We pray you will find inspiration, encouragement, and hope, especially during these challenging days of the coronavirus pandemic. I'm in upstate New York, one of the hardest hit states. We're doing okay here in the capital region. My biggest challenge is homeschooling two teenagers with special educational needs. So I'm surviving that. I hope you're doing well too, all things considered. And we at JFO are praying for you, our listeners, and for the children and families in crisis. The impact of the coronavirus shutdown can quickly trigger a downward spiral that can cause tragic consequences for children and families already struggling. Today, we're going to talk about a tool that can help your church amplify its outreach ministry, not only at this time of crisis, but all year long. Joining us for today's conversation is Renee Dembau, the Greater Cincinnati Ambassador for Care Portal in Ohio. Welcome to the show, Renee.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to talk about this important, you know, ministry tool, especially at times like this, and like you said, beyond. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled to have you on and can't wait to talk with you so our listeners can hear about what's going on there through Care Portal, through churches using Care Portal in Ohio. So before we dive in, though, for our listeners who might not even understand, or maybe they haven't even heard about Care Portal, they don't know what it is, can you kind of give us the gist of what it is and how it works?
Absolutely. I love what you said about Care Portal being an amplifying tool. I love to call it a tool because it's really not a ministry in itself, but it can take your ministry and take it to another level. So here's how it basically works. It's a technology tool. It's a platform online where a child welfare professional on the front lines of child welfare would identify a need. They would put a request into our system. That would generate an email to churches who have signed on and are ready to receive those emails. The church would then respond to the need, meet the need for the family, and hopefully build community connection for those families, help take some of that caseload off of our caseworkers and resource directors in schools and those child welfare professionals who are completely overloaded with the need, and begin to kind of tie communities together to build support systems under those families. So it's a really simple, you know, one of those things where you go, oh, we have email and we have Facebook, and why have we not been using these tools to connect need to generous people in our community?
Yeah, because churches want to help. They just don't always know how to help or where the need is outside the walls of their church. So Care Portal is a way for the church to receive real-time vetted requests from child welfare professionals working with these families in crisis all the time, every day. And those needs can come through to the church and they can respond to requests close by, right in their community.
Right in their communities.
Super simplifies ministry for the church, really.
Absolutely.
So
put some of that ministry in the hands of lay people, which I really think is important. It's not another thing for a pastor to do, but it's a tool that the lay person can use to be in ministry themselves.
Yes. And it's working. Over the past 5 years, I pulled some statistics off of the Care Portal website. Over the past 5 years, 2,275 churches in over 20 states have served 57,795 children in crisis. And I know here in New York, our numbers, and we just launched the first county about 16 months ago and another county about 4 or 5 months ago. But so far in New York, 861 children have been served by 34 churches utilizing the Care Portal platform. So Renee, what are your numbers there in Ohio?
Yeah, so we've been launched here in Ohio for a little over 3 years. We've served about 1,500 kids, somewhere a little upward of 1,500. It changes every minute. And we provided the county and school system with over $600,000 in economic impact. We love to say that we have served one child over 1,500 times, because we know that every single one of those numbers is a specific person. And we love to think about, you know, that's 1,500 stories and 1,500 lives that we've been able to impact over the course of those 3 years, and we're growing daily. So we're excited to see what God is going to do and all the lives that God's going to change in the coming, you know, years and through Care Portal Ministry.
Yeah, I love that. What a phenomenal impact right there in Ohio. So Care Portal's been in Ohio for about 3 years. How did you hear about Care Portal and first get involved?
Our local church, the church that I was attending at the time, had a really dynamic wrap community for foster and adopt families. And the leader of that ministry heard about Care Portal at CAFO conference, kind of brought it back and thought, we need to do this, but she didn't really have capacity to do it, and sort of, you know, shoulder tapped me to come in and help build a team and get the thing kind of off the ground. My original thought was I would take a couple months and try to build a team there and kind of launch that ministry and then just go back to my kids ministry as I was serving there already. But I never left Care Portal. I kind of got super hooked right from the get-go. And as our network grew and we added churches, it just became more and more evident that, like, this was definitely something that enhanced my kids ministry, allowed me to meet families that I wouldn't normally meet, and kind of put me in a position where I was taking the church to the kids and not the other way around. So I really feel like it was definitely a God divined moment where the Lord just said, you know, we often invite people to the church and we sort of think our building is where church happens. And so there was a really neat shift that took place as I began to serve families that, you know, taking the church to the children became a really real mission for my life. And I have never left the Care Portal community since.
Wow. So when your church started taking church out into your community, what kind of impact did you start seeing? How were families that you were serving, how were they impacted?
Yeah, when we first started using Care Portal and meeting needs and meeting families, we started to see some really beautiful side effects in our community. Of course, kids were being kept in their family homes, so we were preserving the family unit. We were giving beds to kids, coats to kids, and stabilizing that home. But we also started to notice that our congregations began to change. Each connection kind of broadened our worldview, kind of broadened our view of our community. Each time a local caseworker identified a need in our neighborhood and we were equipped to respond to it, we gained this beautiful, strong bond with each other in our congregations and also with our community. It's been really neat to watch Care Portal almost serve as a discipleship tool for our lay people as they sort of encounter people that they may have never thought to meet or befriend in the past. You know, and as they just start to connect with other families and start to realize that there are a lot of commonalities where they may have thought they were very, very different, It's just been a really neat way to, in general, for our churchgoer to grow in their own ministries and their own ability to go outside the church building and minister in a way that is really personal to them.
Yeah. So it's definitely a discipleship tool for within the church, for the church members, congregation themselves. And it's also an evangelism tool. Would you say that? Like, how would you describe it as an evangelism tool?
Yeah, absolutely. I love to talk about Care Portal in terms of the parable of the sower. You know, we're all very familiar of that with that parable that, you know, the seed of the gospel is sort of scattered on different types of ground. And we always think about, you know, that hard ground that, you know, when life is too hard to even sort of understand the gospel, it's just kind of hits hard ground and nothing grows from that. The rocky soil where the gospel sort of takes root, but troubles come in and it's too shallow and it can't survive. That thorns and weeds situation where worries and troubles of life kind of choke out the seed of the gospel. And we're kind of all hoping for that good soil, right? And we hope we are good soil, where the gospel can take root and bear fruit. But I think, you know, any good farmer, gardener, I mean, honestly, like a lady with a house plant knows that you have to prepare soil if you expect a harvest. And that's what I think Care Porter really allows us to do as a church is prepare the soil. We're tilling up hard ground. We're removing rocks and weeds from the lives of our neighborhood community members. And it really just helps us to prepare the soil so that when we scatter the seed of the gospel, it doesn't hit and fade. It has the ability to take root and bear fruit. That's one of my favorite things about Care Portal is that when we're in our community, we're not just throwing the gospel seed wherever it may land and hoping for the best. It actually puts the tools in our hands to prepare that soil and expect a fruitful harvest.
Mm. I love that. So share with us some of that fruit. Do you have any stories where you've really witnessed that impact that Care Portal has had, that the church has had through using Care Portal, I should say?
I do. So our church, where I'm the kids pastor, we don't have a church building. We meet in a school building in the local community. So we've also opened that local school as a Care Portal requester. So it's very interesting how intertwined our community is becoming. So recently, the resource director at our local school, who happens to also attend our church now, gave her life and heart to the Lord. She's been bringing her kids to our kids' church, where I'm the pastor. Her kids have been saved. She put in a Care Portal request as a school requester on behalf of a family in the school who lives right across the street from our building. We had already met, her name's Miss Jeffers. We'd already met Miss Jeffers several times because our church would do outreach in the neighborhood and hand out groceries or knock on doors and pray for people. So we had already sort of met her a couple times. So when we saw her, you know, address and information come across Care Portal, we knew like she was our family. We had already had contact with her. Plus she's right across the street from the building. Plus her kids go to our school. So she was ours. Yeah. Our church jumped on that Care Portal request to take care of, you know, a lady that we had already had many touches with. We were able to provide groceries and rent support for her. And she started to attend the church. We're right across the street. So she's coming to the place where her kids go to school and the place where she goes to church all in the same, you know, just again on a Sunday morning. She then gave her life to the Lord recently and began to extremely evangelize her apartment complex. So last summer when we do block parties, but since we don't have a church building, we go to the apartment complexes around the neighborhood and just throw block parties there, barbecues and ball pits and fun stuff for the kids. And when we got to Ms. Jeffers' neighborhood, everyone already knew we were coming. They were all ready for the party. She had gone door to door and invited people out. because she is passionate about, you know, the church that loved her into the kingdom, and she was ready to do the same. So we've just watched that school input into the neighborhood, into the overlap into the church ministry, overlap back into the kids ministry. And recently Miss Jeffers' daughter gave her life to the Lord in kids church.
Wow.
So really watching a snowball effect of, like we said earlier, that preparing good soil and planting the seed of the gospel in good soil and watching that bear fruit. And the beautiful thing about a tree that bears fruit is every piece of fruit is full of seeds.
Yes.
And so that gospel just continues to replicate and spread at, you know, as each believer matures and bears fruit. It's an exciting move of God to see happening in our neighborhood.
I love that story. And Renee, just for our listeners who might not be aware, because we talk a lot on this show about Care Portal and how child welfare enters requests. But you've mentioned the school in your church, across from your church, or actually your church is in the school building. They are a requester. So how does that work, and why would that be necessary for a church, for a school to request on behalf of families in crisis?
We love the ability of schools to be able to put in requests because it's sort of this preemptive activity in Care Portal. So rather than waiting for a crisis to occur, and now the county caseworker is involved, and now the county caseworker, we love that too. We want to catch every kid in their moment of crisis. But if we can use schools, a lot of times what we're finding is that we're able to provide a coat or provide a bed before JFS has to be involved in that family. And so we're catching it just before the moment of crisis. And we're able to stabilize that family before we get into, you know, an open case file and a lot of red tape that family now has to go through to get, you know, kind of on their feet. We're able to push them back before they fall off the edge.
Yeah.
And so we enjoy both ends of that spectrum. We're really trying to use the schools as a way to build neighborhood support. So we're wrapping the very local neighborhood churches around that school building, and we're building Care Portal mini communities all over the city, so that each community is very tight knit, and those kids are much less likely to kind of fall through the cracks there.
Wow. So school administration, they're seeing children every day, obviously, come to school, so they can identify when a child appears to be in crisis to them before it's necessary for a call to a county child welfare agency. The school can actually enter a request to help stabilize that family before it gets to that point. Incredible. I love the ability and the flexibility with Care Portal to be able to do that. So I love the story that you shared. Care Portal facilitates connections between churches and children and families in crisis in their communities, which I love. You're talking so much about community. In this season of coronavirus social distancing and the shutdowns of schools and businesses, and the families served through Care Portal are really the hardest hit by the shutdown, job loss, food insecurity, housing insecurity, these things that inconvenience all of us really can have a tragic impact on these struggling families that we're talking about today. So Renee, how can the church using Care Portal be a light during this dark time?
Yeah, you know, I really feel like this is the church's moment. This is the time when we show the church for who she really is. If we could meet the fear and need in our community and contrast that with sort of the joy and abundance that comes from our relationship with the Lord, I feel like if we would carry beds and groceries into local homes, but also carry that light of the Lord with us, I don't think that can go unnoticed. I think people will see that and have no choice but to glorify God. People will come to know the Lord through that service.
Yeah, I love, we know that Jesus met the needs of people all the time. And in the process, the people encountered Christ. And really, that's what the church is doing. When you show up and you meet a need, you're not just bringing a material item to a family. You're providing an opportunity for that family to encounter Christ, and the church can minister to the family. And like the story you just told with Miss Jeffers, the seeds that come from that fruit and just kind of keep giving. It's an amazing work. And I love that. We're urging churches to go out into the community to meet needs and make those connections. We know that there's a lot of, with all the social distancing, how are you advising your churches to go about that? Because it's, if they're not supposed to, we're supposed to stay home, but yet there's greater need than ever because of the fallout from coronavirus and the shutdown. What are you seeing churches in Ohio doing to respond to these needs in this time?
Yeah, you know, this is a tech tool. So we're using technology more than we ever have before. Lots of our teams are making extra phone calls to pray and connect with those families before we drop off supplies, and then after, and a lot of times even during the drop off process. We've even created additional prayer teams that will be praying for the needs, you know, on an ongoing basis, because so many people are home and they have the extra time and they can connect in that way. We're also, you know, kind of putting a few new and weird feeling protocols in place where, you know, most of the time we would encourage you to hug and put together the furniture yourself and connect with the family as much as you can face to face. And right now we don't want our families being exposed to anything. We don't want our volunteers being exposed to something that they can't physically handle. So a lot of people are, you know, using Amazon to deliver items and then making phone call connections. A lot of people are dropping things off, knocking on the door and stepping away from the porch to kind of 6 feet away, give their, you know, make the connection that way. Or like I said, on the phone, even though we're only a few feet away, we're still connecting over the phone. We have a lot of, you know, beautiful ways to connect. Technology provides that for us. So we're taking full advantage of those, you know, creative ways to connect with families. And hopefully, you know, when all of this, you know, panic sort of subsides, we can make another connection and invite people in a way that we haven't, you know, ever even really thought to do in the past, with follow-ups and you know, ministry to follow the connection.
Yeah, the need is great, and it's only going to increase as the weeks and months kind of move forward. Just this, even if the temporary, and we pray that the shutdown is temporary, but the longer it lasts, the greater the impact will be on families that are already in crisis. So why do you think it's important for churches to step up now for such a time as this?
Yeah, I have so many answers to that question. I mean, families need us, and kids need to be in stable families. And our faith actually requires us to serve this purpose. But the bottom line here, I think whatever we do for the least of these, like you said at the opening of the show, these are the things that we're doing for Christ himself. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we want to be able to say that we served our Savior well. I don't, for one, and I know I speak for the church at large, I don't want to be the person who didn't meet the Lord in his time of need. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be the reverse of that scripture where it says, hey, you know, you saw me, you knew that I was in need and you didn't serve me. I don't think I can live with that. And I think my love for Christ compels me to not live with that.
Wow. Yeah. Love that. Anything you want to add to that? I know you said you had a whole bunch of reasons. That would probably be the greatest one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, technology is a beautiful thing, and I think we need to use it to connect with our communities. It's the age that we live in, and so let's take advantage of that. Never in the history of the earth have we had more opportunity to connect than we have right now. Yeah. And even in the moment of this coronavirus, I mean, there's just, even though we can't meet in person, there's still never been more connectivity than now. And so I think this is the moment where connection has to be key. And, you know, I just pray that we never, not now in the middle of this or after the panic subsides and after the pandemic is over, let's just never forget who we serve. You know, people, our neighbors, are the treasure of God's heart, and there's no better way to serve Him. There's no better or more pure form of worship than to serve His people. That's His command. That's His expectation of His children, is that we would love those who He loves. And I feel like sometimes I compare this to a treasure hunt, where I just know that the people that God is revealing to us through Care Portal Needs and through our community, they don't just need us. They are sent to us because we need Him, and that's where we're going to find Him, is in that service to His beloved.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I need to be in on this ministry, I want my church to be involved in this ministry, how do I do Care Portal? How do I get involved? You can learn more about Care Portal. You can check out, see if they're in your state, in your county. Just go to careportal.org. And while you're there, you can enroll your church. And because now is the time. The need is greater than ever right now and in the weeks and months moving forward as we emerge out of this coronavirus pandemic shutdown situation. The families that have been struggling and in crisis all along, that our churches have been serving through Care Portal all along, they're struggling even harder now. This is even impacting them harder. The single mom who was barely holding it together before, being out of work, her kids not in school, they're not getting lunch and breakfast at school. Maybe she's got to pay for childcare. The grandma raising her grandchildren who depended on those school meals for them to eat and so many other things. It's a crisis situation now more than ever. So we really encourage churches, if you're not yet involved, enroll, get involved, support a church that is already involved. But it's imperative that we meet needs because those needs are only going to increase. And now is the time for the church to shine. Renee, before we wrap up, any last thoughts? What's on your heart that you want our listeners to hear?
Wow, that's a loaded question. you know, I just feel really strongly that the church is made up of people. It doesn't matter if we're meeting in person in certain buildings or in school cafeterias or parking lots, that the church is the people. And this is our time to really be the bride of Christ. And I want for the church to be found an acceptable bride. I want us to be found to be doing what we're supposed to be doing on the day of the Lord's return. And I think that this is a moment where our faith needs to be expressed in that pure worship. So serving our community is really a mandate from the Holy Spirit and something that Jesus would be doing if He were walking the earth today. And He is, in the form of His believers and His followers. So I just want to, you know, really encourage believers to step up and maybe this is the moment to step out of your comfort zone instead of, you know, kind of hunker in. Maybe this is the moment to try something new and be a part of a larger movement of believers who are about the Father's business.
Yeah. And the Father's business is ministering to the least of these. And Care Portal makes that super simple. Jesus met practical needs all the time. Like I said earlier, in the process, those He ministered to encountered Christ. You can be part of this Matthew 25 ministry, meeting needs and making connections to children and families in crisis in your neighborhood. You can learn more and enroll your church at careportal.org. So please check that out. Renee, thank you so much for all that you are doing there in Ohio and beyond, and for joining us today and sharing your heart with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. And we hope that you enjoyed our conversation, chatting today with Renee Denbaugh, the Care Portal expert there in Ohio. The coronavirus shutdown is creating an existential crisis for already struggling families, such as single moms, grandmas raising grandchildren, families that were just barely making things work before COVID-19. They're having an even harder time now. And our church buildings might be closed, but now is the time for the church to arise and shine in the darkness, right in our own communities. And Care Portal is the easiest way to get connected to those real-time needs. Get your church ministering and evangelizing in your neighborhood. Love your neighbors. Care Portal is the ministry and discipleship tool that will help you do that. It's already working across the nation. Please enroll your church at careportal.org and start ministering today. We thank you for listening to episode 214 of Orphans No More. We are grateful for you, our listeners. We want to hear from you. My favorite emails are those that come from you. So please reach out. You can contact us at justicefororphansny.org. Let us know what you would like to hear. What are the topics of interest most to you? We exist to serve you. We want to hear how we can better do that. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review and tell your friends about it. Share about it on your social media. We really appreciate your support that way. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I'm in the final stretch of edits for my book, Orphans No More, Journey Back to the Father. Please stay tuned on this podcast and on our social media for news and updates about the release. And you can find and follow more episodes of Orphans No More on your favorite podcast platform. Also, right on our website. Again, that is justicefororphansny.org. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you next time on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.